Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener. Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Competition starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game. A-man, no rain on the track when we unite and spit. This is an A-game, better bring your A-game. Competition starting to get thick, it's the click, so I hope you watch your A-game. A-man, no rain on the track.
Hey, now it's the Mike and JD show, and I'm your host, Mike Gilbert, and I'm joined as always by JD, by God Oliva. How you doing, JD?
Not bad, man. Not bad. I had a really interesting conversation this week. I have a Patreon subscriber. It was really cool. Rick, man, was good. Secondly, advice from my therapist this week, and he said, don't spend a lot of time with your thoughts because that's not good for you. Keep yourself busy this summer. So I was like, wow, that's one. He's right. Two, let's stay. And based into that Tuesday, Gaijin, my book that I've been prepping for a long time now. It's finally, now that summer is like here and I'm not fighting with school and all that, the Kickstarter is finally going to go live on Tuesday. And I'm really, really excited about that, man. It's the best book I've ever written. It's the book that I think people that like this kind of stuff will dig the most, right? I mean, I wrote this book specifically with wrestling fans. Well, specifically me, to be quite frank, but with wrestling fans specifically in mind for this. And dude, I'm excited. Like, not only are we going to launch the book, like you got the ebook is going to be available. So it's going to be real cheap. You can get that for $5. Just get a simple ebook, the paperback. I got the proof right here. You can see it's all finished. Right. And I'm also going to have limited edition hardcover books. Like, this is the only time you're ever gonna be able to get that hardcover. The paperback will be available on Amazon in 6 months. But like, if you ever want to get a hardcover book, like those nice dust jackets, real slick looking, this is the only place you can get it. We're also, because it's a story of an American wrestler who goes to Japan, gets a second chance, right? And inadvertently becomes a kind of a drug kingpin. You know, he's ushering amphetamine into the country and runs afoul of the Yakuza. And at the same time, we've got a kayfabe story of this character going through a G1 style tournament. So what I was able to do in my spare time is I created the brackets, right? So I got the G1 style brackets. They're going to be part of the book. And I did a program, right? Like, I printed the official program of the tournament, and I have bio entries with all the wrestlers. I actually had a comic book artist design every wrestler in the tournament, so you can kind of get a visual representation of what these guys are like, with little career bits and stuff like that. Just one, it's for fun. Two, it's just something extra to do for the Kickstarter. I'm really cool with that. I'm really happy with that. I'm also gonna do a cool thing where you get to be a part of the book, right? You can have your name and likeness worked into a character in the book. It's a really cool thing. Not only can you have that, but you also get every single book I've ever written in paperback form for that. So it's the most expensive tier. It's $250, but I mean, like, you get that and you get everything I've ever written. It's a really cool thing. I'm pretty lucky that I've always been able to sell those in my Kickstarter campaigns. And the one I'm really excited about is the main character, the Black Phoenix. The mask is going to be available. Your own Black Phoenix mask. I have no idea if I was actually going to buy it, but I think, I don't know, like I said, sometimes stuff just entertains me. So the fact that I'm going to be able to have those masks made up is cool. And like I said, the book's done. So when the campaign ends, the digital rewards are going to go out immediately. And then, it takes about a month for Amazon to process everything. Cause I do all my shipping with Amazon. So once that's done, the book, it doesn't even come to my hands. It goes right to Amazon, right to your door. So I'm super stoked. I'm going to be just completely insufferable about this thing for the next month. I'm going to talk about it every chance I get. I want to sell as many as possible because it's occurred to me that I will never be able to retire and get my full pension because I started too late in the teaching game. So my writing is going to be my retirement fund. And, you know, I'd like to live in a nice climate when I'm an old man.
Yeah. You know, I think what we need is we need a commercial. I think we need to do a commercial or something. That way I can like before and after every episode, hit the commercial button. I think, you know, and I think that what we need is we need a guy who knows how to do like create commercials and create videos and might have some free labor at school. Well, actually, the kids are out of school, right?
Yeah, there's no free labor right now. It's all me at this point. Fortunately, Kickstarter requires you to do a video. I haven't finished the video part of it yet. I was waiting for the absolute last minute to do that, but I'll be able to cobble a commercial out of that. So yeah, that'll be cool, man. We got a nice little comment here from, does it say Alter the Squirrel? Can you pull that up?
Yeah, Alter the Squirrel, our newest Patreon subscriber, by the way.
Hey, thanks, man.
I meant to send him an email, but I have not gotten around to it. But he said, didn't realize that JD was such a creative guy. Maybe TNA should add him to the creative team. JK, but congrats on the Kickstarter. I would love to see JD on the creative team. Would AJ Francis be the digital media champion over and pinning Laredo Kid if JD was on the creative team?
No, it would not happen, which is why JD would not. Like we talked about this. We got our buddy John Muse, who does have a booking mind. John actually helped with the book. John Muse, he actually helped me book the tournament, right? That's in the book. Like I went to John when I was running this thing. I said, all right, man, I got this tournament. Help me book the story of the tournament.
Yeah. So
John actually helped me put it together, which is really cool. But John has like a booking mind. Like, dude, the best part of being a writer is when I tell characters to do stuff, they like do it. Right. Yeah. Some like they don't argue much, right? Like they have their own agency. Like it all plays out in my brain. But if I want, you know, Black Phoenix to jump off the top rope, he's going to do it. You know, if I'm at TNA, I got to tell Josh Alexander to take off the headgear and he's going to look at me and say, no.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to do with that. Like I'm all out of ideas at that point.
That's the troubling thing about being in creative and pro wrestling. You're dealing with creative people who are also athletes. And they have egos and they have emotions and they have all this stuff. And you can, when people say, hey, how come Kevin Nash didn't do that job? Why didn't you just tell him to do it? And he's like, well, he said no.
That's the problem.
He said no over and over again.
I thought you were going to say creative people who are also assholes, which is like the real truth. Hey man, did you hear MJF's promo last night?
Yeah, it was great. He's the best.
It was great, but he buried, you know, he took his shots at the top three champions in the company, and he did it on his terms, and nobody, you know, Max is going to do what Max wants to do. Old MJF Hogan, you know, what do we call him? What do we call him?
Maximania.
Yeah.
We called him Bogo Max and Bogo Maximania. Max. Yeah. Speaking of guys who don't want to do jobs, Maximania back in full force, buried two of the three top baby faces in the company. With Will Ospreay and Swerve Strickland. And I don't think that his criticism was all that fair, to be honest with you. I don't think Swerve Strickland's a bad promo.
No, not at all. I don't know. That's kind of where I was like, oh, he's just cutting a promo on Swerve at this point. You know, that's why I didn't take it to heart too much. I figured he was just trying to make some matches. And I like that when Swerve got them, he said, hey, Max, you're a little bitch. And just kind of like left it at that. I'm like, all right, I like it. I'm a fan. Big fan.
Yeah.
AEW last night was such a polarizing show. Like it was so like schizophrenic. Like the in-ring stuff was great. They had these backstage, like the vignettes, not the backstage stuff, but like the vignettes they make. They're like, I think, I don't know if Giancarlo's still doing them for the company, but it seems like his style. So I think it's still him. Like, it's like, remember when they did HBO Boxing would have those things.
Yeah. Yeah, Mayweather and De La Hoya, like that was the beginning of those things.
Yeah, yeah, love those things, man. And they do such a good job of like getting you to care about these characters. Like, I freaking love they did. Like, I remember Ring of Honor was doing stuff like that during the pandemic, and it was the highlight of the show because the shows were free to watch in Ring of Honor at the time. So, man, I love those things. And then they do these backstage segments that are just awful. And I know Lance is. I was listening to Lanza this morning. He's like telling me how the Jericho stuff is drawing good. And sure, okay, I guess it's drawing well, but he's just so fucking annoying with this. I don't get it. I can't get on board with it.
Maybe we're the ones that are out of touch, because I think the Jericho shit sucks, but it's some of the highest quarters of the show. So clearly something is working.
I know.
But look, just because it draws, it doesn't mean I have to like it. And that doesn't mean I'm not going to call for it to end because I want it to end. Because it's, you know, honestly, though, it did make the show a little bit of an easier watch for me last night. Because
did
I fast
really?
Forwarded, like, oh, I fast forwarded sure. through a lot of it.
Yeah, I couldn't.
Watch it on demand on YouTube TV, so I was able to like. And I typically try only to fast forward the commercials and not fast forward the segments and stuff because I want to be able to speak on it intelligently. I got through the first Jericho segment where they're out there in the parking lot and he's doing his fake voice and Big Bill's doing the fake voice and they got poor Brian Keith. You know, they're kind of as like their serious lackey. I was just like. You know what? Next time they're on screen, and I already knew they were on screen a lot. I was like, I'm hitting that fast forward button, brother. That don't work for me, dude.
Well, we had this great interview with Mark Briscoe's show, right? Didn't go to the show. It was like it's a YouTube exclusive, and I got to watch. And Chris Jericho's yelling at everybody. Like it's weird because we had our nameless buddy was like, oh man, I don't know about the show tonight. And the first half hour of the show, I'm like, what are you talking about? This four-way was awesome. Max had a great promo. What do you mean?
The show's been say?
Really good. Wait.
He said, keep watching.
Yeah, he was right. About 20 minutes later, I was like, what is this show? What is happening here? Why? Like, I don't. They're cutting the Acclaimed segment. I'm almost kind of like, okay, you know, if you're going to cut someone's segment, I guess I'm okay with the Acclaimed segment getting cut. But it's just. I don't know, man. Heel authority figures.
They have heel authority figures and babyface authority figures. So they have two heel authority figures in the Young Bucks, and they got two babyface authority figures with Christopher Daniels, who comes out to music, and Tony Khan is very much an on-screen authority figure now. He fought against it forever, but he very much is one. He was the one that made the match for Roderick Strong. It made no logical sense, but then Roddy Strong. Made no logical sense. And then the Sons of Bitches made that really great vignette about him. And I was just like,
I
was like, I'm still mad at the way he got the match, but okay. Like I'm still going to watch it, but you didn't have to do the bullshit way to get there.
I'm going to play devil's advocate on that particularly. Like Swerve's a fighting champion, right? So he'll just fight anybody. And I looked at this, okay, Will won the casino, blah, blah. And he gets a major spotlight on the pay-per-view, not the PLE, which I was really happy that Swerve corrected, but Bully Ray on Busted Open this week when they interviewed him, he said, we don't do PLEs, we do pay-per-views. Good job, Swerve. So I was like, okay, Will gets the big shot where Roddy gets just a TV match because he chance. I don't know. I'm trying to justify it in my own head. It doesn't,
a world title
it
match
doesn't
a world
bother
title
me. Match. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it doesn't bother
it's,
me, though.
It's not, like, that important, but you remember when we were doing Brace for Impact, right? Mm-hmm.
No, I blocked most of that out.
It was the night after Bound for Glory, and it was in Albany, and it was the night that Bobby Fish did the Where's the Lie promo, right? Well, that yeah, JD looking very Tozawa. Well, that night, Bobby Fish came out. Or actually, it was Frankie Kazarian. Frankie Kazarian came out and did option C. I'm cashing in the X Division title that he'd won the night before, and I want to get a shot at the world title on pay per view. And then, like 10 minutes later, Bobby Fish comes out. Hey, Josh, can I have a shot? And Josh is like, yeah. So it was like he didn't. So the moral of the story is, Frankie, you didn't have to cash in your X Division title. All you had to do was ask, you dummy. And that's kind of like, okay, you know, Will Ospreay. Went through that gauntlet, had to beat all those guys, and one of my favorite matches on Dynamite ever, by the way, loved the match. He went through it, and then Roddy complained that he wasn't in the match, asked for a title shot, and Tony Khan's like, sure, no problem. And so logically, it doesn't make sense. The whole thing is stupid, but the vignette was cool, and the match was great. So it's like, but they use their great matches as band-aids for bad stories.
They do. You're right about that. Now, all they had to do was have, okay, one extra week, and you could have made this work. All Roddy has to do is bitch, and Tony's, I forget who did Will pin to win? Do you remember who Will pinned?
Orange Cassidy.
All you had to do is have him wrestle Orange, is have him bitch and have Tony, have Broderick wrestle Orange Cassidy this week on the show, get the shot at Swerve the following week.
Yeah.
Right?
It's fake. They could create a better reason than whining because the rest of the locker room could have had that same excuse. So, and that was really that. Look, it's nitpicking, but it's also AEW, and we hold AEW to a higher standard because they're supposed to be the company that WWE isn't. They are the antithesis of WWE. They're supposed to give us what we fucking want, which is awesome stories, awesome matches, awesome promos all the time. I will accept nothing less.
So just do what New Japan does. Just go to the guy who runs the music and say, okay, play my music. I'm going to challenge right now.
Yeah.
Because that's how
you, that's all you ever have to do.
That's all you have to do in New Japan is you just have to be the first guy up to the go position and say, play my music now and walk out before everybody else does. I always have it in my head that there's like a giant race to the entrance and like whoever wins the race gets to have the next shot at the title, right? It's like the sperm, whatever sperm gets their first gets to be the kid.
Yeah. You know, but I'm making fun of AEW a little bit and I'm giving them a hard time.
That's what we do.
But I if you guys go to the Patreon, patreon.com/TheMikeAndJDShow, I recapped MLW Battle Riot from over the weekend.
What? Here's my question. Why?
Well, we have Patreon subscribers, JD. They pay $5 a month and I want to give them content and I had, and I have access to the content. So I was like, well, you know what? I'll watch it. And it's only it's like a little over 2 hours. I put a poll out there. I was like, hey, would you guys be interested in this? And they said yes.
Way to bury me, by the way, for asking a terrible question. Nice job.
Yeah. And I got to be honest. I actually had a lot of fun watching it because MLW is like unapologetically bad sometimes. And they had this skit between Dario Cueto, he goes by Cesar Duran now, and Selena De La Renta, where he was revealed as Selena De La Renta's father. And it was one of the most magnificently awful things I've ever seen in my damned life. You guys got to go up and listen to my recap of it. Actually, I did a YouTube short for it, so you can hear like a part of my reaction to that. But yeah, it was a complete mess. MLW is unapologetically MLW at times, and that was the most MLW thing I've ever seen.
Court Bauer really holds himself to, like, he really thinks that he is a really good booker. Like, I used to listen to the MLW podcast back when it was just him and Kevin Sullivan doing a podcast before he went on a ship. And he really thought highly of himself as a booker. You know, we both headbutted with Court a couple times publicly. So, I mean, like, I don't want to make this like a personal thing, but I used to really like MLW. 5 years ago, it was before AEW really got going. It was probably my favorite promotion. Really was. I thought it was really good back then. And like, he has never quite gotten to that spot again.
Yeah.
I don't know what this is. Like, I don't, this is not when you call, okay. You call your company fighter. Like, you call your wrestlers fighters. You say these are fights. Like, you try to be like, this is a martial arts promotion. This is this. And then you just, I don't know, man. I don't get it.
I own the chat brings up another good story from MLW. It says, next time charge your batteries, MLW cameraman. So there was a scene. I can't remember which match it was. But that one of the camera, they had a really good shot. And all of a sudden, like, a flashing thing said, your battery dead. And then they cut away from it and went back to the hard cam. So one of the cameramen forgot to charge their batteries, but like their production was no worse than what I've seen on a lot of TNA shows. So I did give them a hard time, but that specifically, I wasn't too hard on them for.
Okay. Let's production guy, right? Production guy.
Yeah.
Let's do this real quick.
Yeah.
Was that a live show?
Yes.
That was a live show.
Okay. It was live show live on YouTube. Yes, sir.
Okay. So that's a problem. Let's say if it was a taped show, you should have your ISO cameras and you should easily be able to edit that out, even if it's live to tape. So what they need to do is they need to replace that file with an edited version because that really makes you look stupid.
JD, camera guy, they have already done that. They have already uploaded Battle Riot 6 remastered.
That's good. Yeah. That's what I want to hear. Good job. Good job, Court. However, you still, mistakes are made. Charge your batteries, cameraman. Be a professional.
Yeah. Surprisingly, AJ Francis and Alex Kane was actually a pretty good match. I really enjoyed that match.
You're lying. Alex Kane's pretty good. And you know, I like Alex Kane.
Yeah. No, they worked really well together. They really did. And they had, you know, Mark Henry and Teddy Long were like kind of overseeing the match because it was for the, they're fighting over like who gets to run Bamaye. And they had to sit on the throne for 10 seconds. They had to incapacitate your opponent for 10 seconds and sit on the throne of Bamaye. They actually did a really good job with the match. And look, you listen to the flagship. I get the feeling Joe Lanza is gonna give it a glowing review for that match. I get the feeling he's gonna agree with me because we talked about it. It actually was a pretty fun match. I dug it.
Okay, I mean, I do find it funny that Mark Henry's being like, because I listened to that Busted Open. After Joe was talking about it, so I listened to the Busted Open interview with Swerve and Mark Henry and Bubba Ray, and they were like, they don't present Swerve Strickland enough as the AEW champion. They don't do, and like, I like that Swerve pushed back and said, they do countdowns to my segments. I'm on the show every week, da 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 da. And he really kind of, I mean, I think it seems to be that Mark Henry is going to go after that grifter money now, because apparently he was upset that he got paid for 3 years to do nothing.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's like, I don't understand thing, complaining I about that, but I mean, clearly, you know, Mark thinks highly of himself, and he's kind of in that boomer stage of his career. So, you know, nobody's going to be selling enough. They're not grabbing enough holds, and they mm-hmm. don't do it the way he wants them to do it. So that's probably going to be a part of his persona going forward.
I'm so excited about that. I'm so thrilled. My favorite thing is when people talk about Dave being on The Take, which is the most, if you ever read or listen to Dave Meltzer, you know, it's the most ridiculous thing in the world. But Dave Meltzer's on The Take. Meanwhile, all these guys bend over backwards to try to bury AEW and promote WWE. Like, these guys trip over their own feet to try to get that, like, charcuterie board. Like, people that are act, there are lots of media members on The Take, but they never get called out. I find that interesting.
Yeah, you know, I had a weird, not a weird, but I had a pretty fun conversation with some guys that are like in their early 30s, and then they had like a guy that they're supervising. He's like 22, maybe 21, right out of basic training, out of boot camp. And he was in boot camp, and he actually part of boot camp Air Force training now. They actually get issued iPads, and they don't have to drink out of canteens. And they're a lot of the stuff that I had to do 20 years ago, they don't have to do, right? And so I come in and they go, Sergeant Gilbert, listen to this. This guy, you know, he got an iPad. He got this. He got that. He didn't have to drink out of a canteen. And they go, what do you think about that? And I was like, guys, I came into the Air Force during the Iraq and Afghanistan war. I was preparing for a war that he's not preparing for. The war that he's preparing for is very likely to be waged over the internet. So it makes total sense that they would actually teach him how to use modern technology than whenever I was going through, and we had to walk everywhere, and we had to drink out of canteens. We had to wear gas masks for hours at a time, and we had to do all this other stuff. Look, we're not training people for a lot of the ground forces that I was being trained for, right? Like, I was trained to kill. We're probably not training people to kill anymore. And so, like, I'm completely okay with them updating the way that they do their training, because things are different right now. We are, like, the next war is going to be waged. It's going to be waged over the internet. It's going to be taking out each other's satellites and killing power grids and doing all of that stuff. And then eventually, we're going to be slinging arrows and using battle axes again, because we've gone full circle, essentially. So and that's my mentality with pro wrestling. It's like, look, it's not good or bad. It's just different now. It's not what it was when you were going through it. And I think Steve Kern on his interview with Garrett and Dave, I thought he hit the nail on the head. He's like, look, just because it's not for me, that doesn't mean it's bad. It just means, like, you know, it's new, it's different. This is what they're doing. They're working for a modern audience. I was working for a different audience back then.
Yeah, I thought that was a great, I texted Garrett about that. So this is the best interviews you guys have ever done. I thought it was fantastic, the Steve Kern interview. As a teacher, I agree. Like, and I hear a lot of people, not so much in my department, because I'm in the career tech department. Our whole, what we do is to try to teach modern technology to kids, right? That's everything we do. But I hear so many teachers bitching that things aren't the way they were in 2005, right? It just comes from people that can't, that don't have that growth mindset of, man, I want to change. I want to improve. I want things to be better. And it's like almost like an inferiority complex where you want, like, you want to make sure everyone goes through the same things that you did, because it validates you and your experience, rather than saying, like, hey, man, I want things better for the guys that come next to me. I want to be in a better spot. I want to be a better leader. I want better guys underneath me. You know, I think too many people worry about that stuff. And I'm really glad that you're not one of those guys, Mike.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I could be an old salty guy, you know, but for stuff like that, just because they're doing things differently than I do, but I still am very big on, like, respect and, respecting authority and all that stuff. And if they get out of line that way, I'll take care of it. But because, you know, I'm not mad that they got issued an iPad. I'm jealous that I didn't get issued an iPad because in 2004, iPads didn't exist. You know,
Do you know?
Just a different time.
So I don't know about the state of Hawaii. Your daughter's going to be in kindergarten this year, right?
Yeah.
So she should be issued a Chromebook at the beginning of the year.
I'm not sure if she will be or not. I'll have to look at, but I'm thinking she might be. Yeah.
Because I know in the state of Illinois and in most states, kids are given a Chromebook right away. And that's pretty much what they use from here on out. Like everything that I had to proctor the ACT this year, the SAT. Ugh, what an awful day that was. All done on the keyboard, all done on the Chromebook these days, man. They aren't filling in bubbles. You gave these kids a Scantron sheet. They look at you like, what am I supposed to do with this thing? Fill in bubbles? What the fuck is that? Like, they have no clue. Like, that's just, and so what kids are learning, everything they do is on the computer.
But that's the way the world's going. That's the way
that is the way the world's going.
Yeah. Let's, you know, we actually haven't even gotten to our first topic. So I want to go over some of the free agents that have already hit free agency and that are coming up for free agency. And we've talked about some of them before, but I just want to hit some of these names and run them by you and run them by the chat too. And chat, I am going to get to you guys. If you want to stop us dead in our tracks, throw in a super chat, but I'm going to try to get to everybody. Super chat. So it got leaked, not leaked, but it got, I think it was Lucha Libre Online had the report today that Pentagon Jr. is going to be hitting free agency come this September, at least his contract is coming due this September. And I think that's a very interesting name. Now I know I have taken a lot of L's predicting that somebody, that people are going to go to the WWE, but I think he could be a strong candidate to actually jump ship. Because it just seems like he has not been a major part of the show in a long time, Pentagon Jr. I think he's got a lot to offer.
I do think he's got a lot to offer. I think that about 10 years ago, right? Maybe a little bit more than 10 years ago. No, about 10 years ago, when he was the lead heel on Lucha Underground, he was probably my favorite heel in wrestling at that time. God, I love that shit. It was stupid. Don't get me wrong. Everything I bitch about with MLW, with Lucha Underground, was more than guilty of. But at least Lucha Underground like presented itself as like a telenovela with wrestling, right? That was like, you knew what you were getting with Lucha Underground. That being said, I like everything Penta has done in AEW. Do I think he'd go to WWE? Yeah. Do I think that would be necessarily great for him? No, I don't. And this is why is Dragon Lee hasn't exactly gotten a chance to cook in WWE, right? I keep hearing about people cooking. Like, it hasn't happened. Andrade was supposed to cook when he came back to WWE. That hasn't happened. He's already bitching about, you know, how things were better in AEW on Twitter. That is a man who is incapable of being happy anywhere with anything. So go ahead.
We should have had a countdown clock on Andrade being unhappy, talking about his love of AEW.
That's hilarious to me that he's tweeting about that he was in AEW, CMLL, and AAA, Real Latino Man. I just like... You just can't be, maybe the problem is you, you know, like everywhere you go, you seem to be miserable. Why is that? Here's the thing though, is they don't push people who aren't native speakers very well. Even on, I know Paul Levesque is the greatest booking mind ever. Some dude named Scott Fishman, who I've never heard of, but has a bazillion followers on Twitter, was talking about how he would have booked the Alliance perfectly. And I ran my face through the wall when I read that tweet. I think it was King of the North that showed it to me. Thank you, King. Like, I know he's the greatest booker ever. Like, we cannot ever say anything bad about Triple H, but he don't book non-English speakers very well. Doesn't.
No.
So I don't think going to WWE would be the best for him. I think he's kind of locked into a spot in AEW. I don't know if it's getting any better for him. I really don't, which is a shame because Rush and Max had a really interesting little segment last week, and I think that could wind up being pretty awesome. And, you know, there's no reason why Pentagon couldn't be in that type of a spot. So if WWE signs him, I just think they're going to bring him into NXT and be like Sean Spears, right?
Yeah.
And I don't care. I think he's better than working with the clone, that working in the clone factory.
I think he's fantastic. He's one of my favorite wrestlers ever. the first time I ever went to an indie show is because he was headlining against Cody Rhodes. And while I was a fan of Cody Rhodes at the time, I was a much bigger fan of Pentagon Jr. from his time in Lucha Underground. And in fact, he was, you know, one of, if not at the time, I think it was like 2016, 2017 timeframe, my favorite pro wrestler that was out there. I just loved everything. I thought his matches were great. I loved the charisma. I liked the Seto Miedo stuff. I liked the look, the mask, the face paint. I dug everything. I just feel, and maybe he doesn't even have to go to WWE. Because I think that if he went over there, you know, would he get a little bit of a push at some point? Probably. I mean, I think everybody does. They kind of take turns. But that's the same thing in AEW, and I feel like he's kind of slotted where he's slotted, and I just don't see him getting past that. So I think the only thing to remedy that is to actually leave for a little bit and go do something else, learn a new hold, and then come back. I'd like to see him take some time away from AEW, because every 3 or 4 months they remember that he works there, and then they push him to on a television program, and then he gets a TV match, or he'll get a trios match on pay-per-view. But he's really just like kind of another guy on the show, when I really think that he could be so much more. And it's not because he's not talented. It's because they have so many people there that he's just kind of gotten pushed further and further down the card. It has nothing to do with him. It's just the reality of the situation. So, I mean, clearly I'm going to advocate for the former TNA World Heavyweight Champion to come back to TNA, because I have a TNA podcast and I would love that. And he's a AAA guy. He's making money everywhere. I think that would be fun. I don't know that they would ever be able to get that deal done, because who knows what's going on with TNA. But I think that would be awesome. I do think he needs to go away for a little bit.
I'm sorry. Did you say you have an NXT podcast? I thought that's what I heard you just say.
TNA, sir. TNA. No,
All I hear is NXT. It must be something wrong with my headphones.
NXTNA. That's what the Jordan Grace came out with on her
jacket. Oh, I saw.
Yeah. I may or may not be going to sell t-shirts with say NXTNA on them pretty soon.
We can get our buddy regular Scott or Salty Scott on the show now. You guys can talk about NXTNA all the time. It'd be perfect.
Yeah, well, if they do a Battleground show, I might jump on there with to talk about Jordan Grace being on it. Maybe
you should,
maybe
actually.
We'll do some. Yeah,
you should. But I just need to take cheap shots.
So Chad Gable, there's rumors that his contract's coming up here within the next couple weeks, but he's already booked for an Intercontinental Championship match after his said contract is set to expire. What do you think about Chad Gable, sir? What do you think Chad Gable is going to be doing soon?
I'm fairly certain Chad Gable's got them bent over right now, because he's worked himself. This dude works so hard, right? Yeah. Vince, let us not forget, he was the other guy in American Alpha, right? He was not the one that they wanted to push. They wanted to push Jason Jordan. They wanted Jason Jordan to be Kurt Angle's son. They wanted Jason Jordan to be the guy. And they always try to push Chad Gable, to the back. They never want to give him his due. And that dude has worked his ass off. He's got his body is fantastic, right? Because he works like a dog. He got himself over. He's one of the best workers in that company, if not the best, in my humble opinion. He is in a prime position that he has worked himself into a very over spot. And he's kind of got him bent over. Because if he were to jump right now, he would be jumping when he was at his hottest, right?
Yeah.
This is the hottest Chad Gable has ever been. I don't think he's not going to resign. I think he will resign with a healthy pay bump. And if not, I know somebody that would like to have him. Who wouldn't want Chaz Betts fresh off of WWE television to show up on their television show?
And a former Olympic wrestler, right? Of course. Mm-hmm. And former I think AEW would be salivating to be able to get him, because he's been wasted for so long in WWE, and they finally got behind him. And he's in this really good program with Sami Zayn, and they're doing a great job with it. And I know they got the big match coming up. I think it's a Clash of the Castle. So WWE actually will. They wouldn't be booking him at Clash of the Castle if he wasn't already agreed to a deal, or if they didn't already have something worked out. You know what I mean? So I'm pretty sure he's sticking around a while.
I'm pretty sure that he is going to stick around, but I don't think he's I don't think Penn has been put to paper yet.
King of the North says, all these WWE contract news hitting the sheets makes me believe it's legit activity to make WWE signing them to be seen as a win. I think the flagship said that too. Mm-hmm. I think that's what the flagship was trying to insinuate. And I could see that they're making them look like they're coveted free agents. And then whenever they're the ones that re-signed them. Like, hey, look, see, we defeated AEW when in fact they probably never even got the contracts, probably never even expired, you know.
Do you think that at any point Drew Galloway was thinking about going to AEW or going back to TNA? No. That was never gonna happen.
No.
LaGentle, man. LaGentle, say what you want about Khan and LaGentle. They're very good at stroking the media. Lick it up.
He's a tremendous hire for them because they have manipulated the media so well. And I don't think they're bad people. Maybe they are, but I think they're doing their job so effectively. Mm-hmm. They have the media just totally flipped on its ass. And the media is bending over backwards for that guy right now to get any scoop that they can. You know, NXT on Tuesday night, they had the one kid, the Irish kid from Fightful. I don't even want to say his name. He was tweeting all day about how crazy NXT was going to be. And they're feeding this kid all this stuff. And because they never said anything about it being crazy, he had everybody worked up in a frenzy. And then, of course, all of the aggregate sites are talking about how crazy shit's going on, because this kid has had some legitimate scoops. He's had some legitimate PR coming from NXT, and he's been able to post it, and he's feeding all the aggregate sites, and turns out nothing happened that was crazy. It was a run-of-the-mill NXT show. They just happened to have Jordan Grace on it, squashing Stevie, don't call me Nick's Turner, Stevie Turner from the UK, I think.
Turner, yes.
What's that?
Stevie Turner, Overdrive.
Oh, yeah. That was really the, so there was nothing crazy happening, but you know, they were feeding him all this stuff and he was getting everybody worked up, and they did one of their best ratings ever
good rating,
best ratings they've had in a while, really good rating. And it's because they worked up the media thinking that there was some crazy stuff happening, and it's genius. It really is genius. I'm not even hating them.
Corey Brennan is a useful idiot.
Yeah.
That's what you do with them. I mean, like, you can't heat the little 22-year-old Irish turd can get offended. But Fightful, I've made my opinions on Fightful very clear on this show, especially that guy. He's a useful idiot, right? When you're sitting there doing PR work, dude, Sean basically admitted that what they do is PR. So like, okay, I'm going to treat you guys like a PR wing. And it worked. They got their ratings up because the guy who's supposed to hold them accountable in the media is doing PR work for them. Fuck him. And that's just the way it is.
Yeah, help fabricate their lies and get it pushed out there, and look, WWE, this is what they're doing, and it's working. I'm not going to hate on them for that. I just think we should hold the media to a higher standard. Becky Lynch recently became a free agent. She's I believe a legitimate free agent. Is there a hope in hell that AEW signs her?
I don't think so. I mean, like, they already signed Saraya. They figured, oh, you know, she's just kind of average. Now she's kind of middle of the pack on that show. They re-signed Monet, who has made, you know, a little bit of an impact. But, I mean, she's not really a ticket draw. She's not really been a proven ratings draw, despite what we hear in certain discords. Like, what is Becky Lynch going to do for you? Like, if you take – like, here's the thing. Is WWE has built these people up so that they works best with their media behind them. You take Rebecca Quinn shows up in AEW, like, who cares? Like, it doesn't matter. Like, I this is what they've designed, so good on them. Like, if she were to show up in AEW tomorrow, okay, cool. Is it going to make a difference for the show? No, it's not 2018 anymore.
Yeah. I think AEW needs to focus on the roster that they have and start trying to make them into bigger stars. And I think they are. You know, the ticket sales don't reflect yet. Ratings don't reflect yet. So we'll see if it's working. But
they won the night.
So what did they beat NXT this week?
Yeah,
they did. Okay, that was going to be like, I think, like a talking point for all of the grifting sites. Like, oh, NXT beat AEW this week, and AEW dead. LOL. I thought that was going to be a talking thing.
So here's the thing: is we can do the AEW dead all you want, but I mean, like, it won. It won last night with no sports competition. It won. I believe NXT won Tuesday night with no sports competition. Yeah. Wrestling is the only thing on cable that people watch.
Outside of sports,
the only thing that's like not sports that people watch is wrestling. That's it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Donovan Dijakovic, whatever the fuck his name is. Donovan Dijak. Mojo Rawley's his agent, right? Dean Mutati is Dijak's
is
agent.
Is he really?
He actually started a talent agency, and a lot of wrestlers have signed with him. And so really? He did a good job putting out a press release through Fightful. As you know, Sab's like tight with all those cats. Mm-hmm. And they put it out, making it seem like a lot of people were really interested in Donovan Dijak's services. And I think it's very sweet that Fightful put out that story. I it's very cute that they did that. I don't see anybody giving a shit about Donovan Dijak becoming a free agent. He was great in PWG 10 years ago, but that was a long time ago, and he has been nothing ever since. He looks like, you remember when Alex Wright stopped being Alex Wright and he became Berlin? Like, that's what Donovan Dijak looks, just more tan version of Berlin from WCW.
Like West Berlin. He's like West Berlin. Yeah, that's an old joke. Yeah, man. 2016 to 2018, him and Keith, Donovan Dijak and Keith Lee had like this incredible series of matches in Ring of Honor and across the indies that were just like awesome. And Keith Lee actually got to do some stuff in both companies. So I'm didn't live up to the potential, but Dijak, like, what's the highlight of Donovan Dijak's career? You know, being, what was he? Slapjack? Which one was he in?
He was Slapjack in that group Retribution. I think the funny thing is that all of the males from Retribution are now, if Dijak does hit free agency, they're all free agents. And so, you know, Game Changer Wrestling is going to be like booking them to do the Retribution.
Well, one of them's in New Japan. He's with the Mighty Don't Kneel. Don't ask me which one. Shane Hayes.
He's hitting free agency too.
Oh, is he really? Okay.
He is. Yeah, he is. Now, I don't know that he's, you know, because all of those foreigners, the Gaijin wrestlers in New Japan, they always leak that they're going to hit free agent, and then like their contract rolls over, or like in New Japan, just like, hey, you want to stay? Yeah. And then they just sign the same deal that they get every year.
Yeah, that's whatever.
WWE superfan King of the North says a T-bar. He knows his WWE folks.
He does. Who am I to question the king? He knows sports entertainment. who cares, man? I mean, like, he's talented. Like, honestly, he's probably serving his best role right now, just being a dude in NXT that, you know, 25-year-old former football players can throw around, you know, hanging out with the Clone Factory.
Yeah. Unfortunately, about Dijak, I don't think that Tony Khan will be able to not sign him. I don't know that he has that in him to not sign that guy, because he was a PWG guy, and I think those guys probably like him. You know what I mean? Like the Young Bucks and those cats.
You're probably right. They should not sign anybody for the next like 6 months, right?
Yeah.
There's nobody that they should sign. There's literally not one single person that, you know, that I think is coming available that I think, man, they should like bend over backwards to sign that guy. Not a one.
Yeah. Yeah. But we'll keep an eye on all the free agents coming up. That was a free agency frenzy, everybody. I'll try to do that every once in a while when we got a bunch of contracts coming due. We'll just hit them all at one time. All right, let me get to the chat, and then we'll go to our main event topic, because I know a lot of the TNA fans, the TNA faithful, want to talk about this. I've gotten a lot of DMs about what's going on in TNA, so I want to address it again. Let's see. King of the North says, I'm here to make sure Mike is ready for Jordan Grace versus Tatum Paxley. You know, that's the second time I've heard that name. My cousin Joe said it looks like Jordan Grace will be taking on Tatum Paxley at Against All Odds. And that's not a real person. Like, you can't convince me that's a real name. That's a real person. That's not true.
That sounds like a porn star name. Like, that is the fakest name. Coming on stage, Tatum Paxley. Like, it just sounds so phony.
Yeah. Yeah, so I just, unless she shows up with a graphic, I'm just going to believe that that's not a real person. Name Cannot Be Blank says, I disagree with Max's promo being good, but I think I'm in the minority on that. And yeah, that I suppose I can accept that. You know what? Maybe the content wasn't that great, but Max has just got a great delivery that I think he just knows how to get it over.
I disagree. I think he had a mission statement. He came out, he had a mission statement, told you what he was going to do, got the fans over, and then like Roosh came out there, showed Roosh a shit ton of respect, and built a really interesting program with Roosh out of nothing. I thought it was actually one of the more effective Max promos we've had in well over a year.
Yeah, and I thought when he was hitting with Max with the cuss words in Spanish, I was like, hell yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dan Goucher says, Jericho treating everyone like they are dumb is funny, but he's overdoing the fake smiling shit. Look, he's very much doing a character that he wants everybody to hate. Yep. Unfortunately, I think it's going to just like, and the fact of the matter is I'm wrong, and that it's going to cause people to change the channel. for some reason, everybody just really likes whatever Jericho's doing anytime he's doing it. And it's just a rehash of the same thing over and over again. He turns heel, he creates a faction, brings in a couple of lackeys, none of them end up getting over, and then the faction breaks up. That's it. Yeah. That's the whole Chris Jericho story in AEW.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, and for some reason, people always watch. Like,
yeah,
we all talk about being the minority. We're in the minority on that because I don't get it.
Yeah. John Mews in the chat said coaches are often harder on their best players perform to the higher standard. Makes a little sense. Let's see. King of the North says, I stand by the fact that MLW went downhill when Teddy Hart stopped doing crazy moonsaults each week. Well, you know, I think what ultimately killed MLW, not killed because they're still around, obviously.
Hey, killed Teddy Hart, man. Let's watch the way we phrase things.
I watched a whole documentary about that. It turns out he's innocent on the killing.
Yeah,
people,
he's innocent.
That was the conclusion, but at least he was innocent of actually murdering somebody, as far as I know. So. Is there something that I don't know?
Maybe no, I don't know. I'm just
okay. Yeah. I think AEW and WWE rating all their talent really hurt them, because Court Bauer in like 2018, 2019, MLW was awesome. But you take a look at the talent that they had.
Oh my God. It was great.
MJF, Matt Riddle.
Yeah. Oh, dude. John Morrison was there at the time. Back when he was still pretty good. Like, that first Battle Riot, Filthy Tom, like, it's awesome. There's so much great talent. I think Jeff Cobb was in it too. Like, there was so much good talent in MLW when they first got back going. And they got pilled, like, when AEW got going, because it was all freelance talent they were using. And AEW's like, we'll pay that guy, we'll pay that guy, we'll pay that guy, and we'll pay that guy. You know, we'll give them a living wage. And it really hurt AEW, it really hurt MLW, but what really hurts MLW is the fact that their storylines are bad.
Ultimately. Let's see. Hold on. Oh, you know, Baby Huey goes to a lot of this WWE stuff as media, but they never gave him any free cheese.
See, that's bullshit. Baby Huey needs some free cheese, man. Come on.
Yeah.
I know you're listening.
He works for one of the most powerful rock stations in the entire country. You can give the man some free cheese.
Yeah.
What are we doing? Let's see. I'm trying to find some more folks in the chat. Alter the Squirrel's 99% sure Chad is resigning, but if he really wants to go for the authentic Kurt Angle run, I wouldn't mind him in TNA. Here's the problem with that. TNA is not the same TNA that it was in 2006 when they signed Kurt Angle. They were the only other game in town. Right now, I don't think if Chad Gable really hit the streets, I don't think TNA would be able to outbid AEW for his services. I just don't think they'd be able to do it. But I mean, as a guy with the TNA podcast, I think that would be great. And Baby Huey, yeah, he said, I saw Stevie Nicks last weekend at Bottle Rock in Napa. Bottle Rock's a huge festival in Napa every year. They get all the
time. She's got to be like 70 something now. How is Huey? I think you're still there. Tell me, how is Stevie Nicks at this point in her life as a performer? I'm super curious about that.
Probably still hot.
He's great.
Probably. Yeah, she was quite the performer back in the day. All right. And then somebody made a comment about me getting a Big Con t-shirt or making my own Big Con t-shirt. Guys, look, until I see evidence that they put 3,000 people in the Verdun Auditorium for Slammiversary, I will not be wearing a Big Con t-shirt. And they have not proven themselves to be able to do 3,000 tickets. They can even give away a bunch of tickets.
Is there a Big Con t-shirt, or do you have to make a Big Con t-shirt?
There is no Big Con t-shirt. I would have to make one. We should do. yeah. You know, there is a on Pro Wrestling Tees, the Ascension, they have a t-shirt called FKA, formerly known as Ascension. And like, they just have their logo on it. So somebody sent that to me. I was like, that's not a Big Con t-shirt. That's an Ascension t-shirt. That's not Big Con.
It's the closest you're going to get to an Ascension, to a Big Con t-shirt, I guess.
Yeah, but I did want to buy one that had his name on it, because I'm like, I've been burying the guy every week. I don't want, at least want to give the guy a little bit of cheddar, you know what I mean, and promote the shirt and wear it on
screen. He don't care enough to have a Pro Wrestling Tees store.
No. And then Baby Huey says, for 76 years old, she was great. I have videos on my Instagram. Everybody go follow Baby Huey on Instagram. He's he gets all interviews from all the biggest rock stars and pro wrestlers. He's got a great thing going.
Baby Huey is actually a really good interview. I got the chance to do his podcast a couple years ago. He's actually really, really good. He asks really good questions. He's very engaging. And he does some good stuff with some really famous rock stars. I mean, it's got some cool stuff. Highly recommend checking this stuff out.
And now lastly, Mike, if you make a Big Con t-shirt, please send a picture to me. A good buddy of mine trains in his gym in Florida, would pop him huge. Yeah, look, tell Big Con to make a big his own t-shirt. I want to make sure that he gets the money. But if he's not willing to do that, which clearly he lacks creativity, because he, instead of changing his name and completely and changing up his gimmick, he just decided, well, my name was Connor in WWE. I'll just be Big Con because I'm a big idiot and I'm just going to chop off half my name. So Big Con. Big Con. I'm sure the guy, Ryan Parmeter, who actually did an interview with one of my friends from the UK, he's actually probably a pretty nice guy. But Con, the character, I'm just, you know, come on.
It is a Big Con. Just hold on. I'm going to pull one of these up, actually. Stephen Patrick says JD should attend Against All Odds. Maybe that will get him invested in the product. Where is Against All Odds, Mike?
Chicago, Cicero.
Oh, I'm not going to that.
Yeah, it's on Friday. It's on Friday. Not this Friday. Not this Friday, but next Friday.
I have gone to the, okay, I did go to the TNA show like 2 years ago and I had a great time there. I don't know, man. I haven't watched TNA. I have not watched a single TNA show since I left Brace for Impact and we launched the Mike and JD show. And that was, how long ago was that? We've been doing this for 2 years now, Mike and JD.
Close to a year and a half. Not about quite 2 years. Yeah, not quite 2 years. All right, well, let's go ahead and get into the main topic here on the podcast. So I got a DM from a couple. I got DMs from a few different people in the media space. I think because I have the TNA podcast, that people think that maybe I have some inside knowledge. I just want to put it out there that whenever I'm doing my podcast and I'm riffing and I'm doing my videos and stuff like that, I don't have like inside scoops. I don't have inside sources. I have some friends that do, but I let them break their own stories. But I don't really have any inside knowledge on what's going on in TNA. So JD, if you're not up to speed, TNA basically gutted their live events department, their marketing department, and they fired their television director, Dave Sahadi. So they fired Dave Sahadi. Really? They fired Lou DeAngeli. RD Evans, one of the members of the creative team, has quit. This was last Friday, and this stuff happened over the weekend. So I did Brace for Impact over the weekend, and on my video I put out, and I very clearly said I was theorizing here, but I did run my theory by a very pretty prominent member of the wrestling media, who is really in the know with TNA. And he said, man, I think he didn't really say exactly this, but it's something to the effect of, he goes, I think that might be what's happening. And so my theory was, is they gutted the live events and they gutted the TV director or the TV production, because Invicta's got a TV deal. And Invicta is going to be running more and more live events. It looks like every 4 to 6 weeks, Invicta is going to be running. I get the feeling that they're doing kind of what WWE has been doing, and they're going to be realigning their mission statement with both companies. And basically the production and the live events department is probably going to be one of the same. That is my theory. Now, there might be some people who are solely focused on Impact and some people solely focused on Invicta, but for the most part, they're all going to be working together, because Invicta is not going to be running enough shows to warrant having their own live event staff. And so I think that's basically what they're doing. And if they did get a decent enough TV deal, which Invicta seems to be pretty excited about, it might warrant having a top-notch crew. That is just my theory. I also know for a fact that Josh Matthews was already doing a lot of the jobs that Dave Sahadi was doing. So, I think my buddy BQ said something like that. So I think that, you know, they probably already have people in house that's doing some of that stuff. And so, you know, with WWE and TNA working together right now, and Jordan Grace being over there, and looks like NXT members, looks like Brooks Jensen's coming over for a little bit. He's one of the young guys. Tatum Paxley, who I'm not sure is a real person, looks like she might be coming over. So there's going to be some back and forth between NXT and TNA. So that's been leading a lot of people to say that looks like, to them, with the live events department being gutted, the TV director getting fired, RD Evans from the creative team leaving, it looks like maybe WWE is buying TNA. And guys, I'm telling you, that is not happening. WWE did not buy TNA. There is no reason for them to buy TNA. In fact, I don't even think legally they can, because they just merged with the UFC and they have all that stuff they got to get through. WWE is not even its own company right now. It is TKO. And TKO owns UFC and WWE. There is no reason for TKO to be buying TNA, to assume a bunch of debt and run a separate company. There is just no reason for it. It's not happening. That's not what this is.
No, it doesn't make any sense. If this is 5 years ago, okay, you might be onto something. WWE has completely changed their business model. They are no longer interested in acquiring libraries, right? Because that would have been the value of TNA, is that library. They don't care about those things anymore, right? Netflix just spent a ton of money on them, right? They're going to get the access to the library that's already on Peacock right now. And like studies have shown that there's a very small percentage of people who watch that old stuff. It's basically, if you're listening to the show, you're one of the few people that is interested in the archives. Like, they have determined that that is not what they do anymore. They're a content provider, right?
Yeah.
They're not a content company. There's no reason for them to buy another wrestling company and absorb it. Like, what do they get from adding? What does WWE, or let's be honest, what does TKO get from absorbing TNA?
Even if they got the tape library, they already have access to that tape library. TNA lets them use the videos. Mm-hmm. They've been using them for years. This is not a new thing.
That's true.
In fact, they did a table for three a few years ago with Jeff Jarrett, Sting, and AJ Styles, and it was about their time in TNA. And they mm-hmm. did whole videos on the WWE Network back in the day, like tribute to AJ Styles' greatest moments in TNA. Like, they did stuff like that. So there really isn't a reason. And look, what was the lawsuit that UFC just settled recently?
Oh, with I
the
forget.
Fighters? It's an antitrust lawsuit, and anti-competitive behavior. Yep. And the reason why they had that lawsuit is because the UFC was buying up Strikeforce and bought up mm-hmm. WEC and removing their competition, so that way it would to keep fighter pay down. And that was the big lawsuit, and they settled for hundreds of millions of dollars. It would be completely, utterly, preposterously stupid for TKO to buy a company like TNA, a small company, not get much out of it, and open themselves up to a potential antitrust lawsuit in the future.
Especially when they settled with MLW for the same thing recently. I forgot about the UFC thing you brought up. But yeah, MLW, and they said they had a case. The judge thought there was a case there. And very quickly, we'll put this like, court's been spending lately, so they got a nice settlement. You know, it's not hard to see that. So why would you want to appear to be anti-competition? Why would you buy anything? And I said, there's just no reason for them to buy stuff anymore. There's just no reason for them to absorb other companies. It doesn't make any sense.
It makes more sense for them to sell off some of the old libraries that they have, because they're not really like, it's going to be on Netflix, but other than like a few of us, like, and I still go on Peacock from time to time, and I'll watch Mid-Atlantic Wrestling from 1982, Sergeant Slaughter and Ricky Steamboat as a young guy. And I'll watch some of that stuff, but I don't think that many people are watching it. In fact, I think if they sold a library, there's probably like people can make money just putting those videos on YouTube and just getting ad revenue from it, versus just having it on Netflix. I think there's something to that, but it makes no sense. And Mike Johnson had a report earlier this week. I don't know which day, but he put some more gas on the fire of TNA possibly moving to a fixed studio location, and possibly even going live every week. I think that's the future state of TNA. They gutted the live events department. I think it's a possibility. It's because they're not going to be touring as much anymore. I think they're probably just going to go back to a studio, which is smart, because if you look at the TV tapings they just had in Cincinnati, it's 200 people in a bar sitting on their hands. What you could have, you can go back to the Impact Zone in Orlando, or Full Sail in Orlando, or you can go to Vegas, or whatever you want to do. I think that makes much more sense for them than for them to go touring. Now, I think they should still tour for the pay-per-views and like their bigger shows. I think they should go to their Cicero stadiums and stuff. They still do well in those locations, but whenever they couple their events with TV tapings, they run back-to-back nights. The second night never does very good, because they're just not a powerful enough brand to be able to get people to come back two nights in a row. So I think it makes all the sense in the world for them to go back to a studio.
Right. Remember, they let Scott go because he was spending too much. Right.
Yeah.
That was the ultimate thing, is spending too much money. They're consolidating. There's not a lot of profitability in TNA. Let's be honest. Like, it just isn't. So it makes sense to cut things back. If you have two TV staffs, Right.
Yeah.
Especially when the one you have isn't doing a very good job. So,
yeah. Yeah. Everybody wants to cry about Dave Sahadi getting fired, but I was like, I've been telling them to fire him for years. And like, and maybe it wasn't all his fault. And I know the guy wasn't working with a very good budget, and he was working for, like, every time they go to a new town, they're using a different crew, and they probably have some guys that are volunteers, not exactly trained. And he's probably old and tired by now. Guy's in his 60s. And I understand that because I'm 41 and I feel old and tired all the time. But I just did not feel like the production was up to par. Lou DeAngeli, however, has done the best job that I've seen anybody do in that company since I started covering it back in 2019, as far as live events. And in fact, they're about to break their Anthem record with the event coming up in Montreal. It's already their biggest on sale, their biggest pre-sale that they've done in 10 years. They could possibly get me in a Big Con t-shirt. That's how well that bastard's doing.
Yeah, but you're not going to tour that much, what's the point of having a tour guy?
Exactly. If you're not touring for every single taping, there's just no reason to do it. But if you're going to be at a fixed location and you'll tour around for different shows, you can hire a team locally to promote your show locally. You don't have to actually have the same staff to do it all the time, you know?
I saw someone in the chat say that they're going to be looking at the place maybe in Full Sail where WWE used to tape NXT. I think that'd be real smart because what you also have there is you can have access to the students, and the Full Sail students are going to be better than whoever. Full Sail is not TV. Full Sail is not aligned with WWE anymore. So that actually ended in the pandemic. Excuse me, that ended in the pandemic. And I think that would be a great, speaking as a guy who, this is what I do for a living. I teach kids how to work with cameras and stuff like that. Having that kind of experience for your students would be invaluable. Having that resource, because you have students, but the people at Full Sail University are going to be way better than the guys they have shooting right now. Right. You have people that are going to be professionals, and Full Sail does do a pretty good job of staffing their people, of finding jobs. Cause like when you work in production, the vast majority of jobs are freelance. This was my life for 20 years. Like you work freelance, you take a job here, you take a job there, blah, 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 blah. Like, so they do a good job from what I've been told of having their alums work in that world. So you're going to have access to kids that are pretty good. Right. Yeah. That's what TNA should do right now. They should. I hope they can make that work.
I hope so too, because not only will they save costs on production costs, they give them the opportunity to run live every week, but not only that, they'll save money on hotels and trans, because a lot of their talent already lives in Orlando, because they typically hire people who get fired from WWE, and a lot of them have been living in Orlando for years.
A lot of wrestlers live in Orlando.
And tons of wrestlers just like to live in Florida anyway, because there's no state tax. And that's where WWE, like, I know their headquarters is in Stamford, Connecticut, but let's be real. WWE headquarters is in Orlando. It's Orlando and Jeddah, right? And like, they just happen to have an office building in Stamford, Connecticut. Jeddah. So it makes all the sense in the world to move to Orlando. I think Full Sail would probably be the best way to go. Dude, I was watching Jordan Grace. I have not seen NXT in a long time, right? So, but I watched last week and I saw Jordan Grace come out. And they got the PC is awesome. Like, it's probably for like a small time show, one of the best places to hold a wrestling event, just because of the look of it. They got the big screens, the crowd's going crazy all the time. And their fans are super into it. And there's like not even 200 people there, but they're just crazy rabid people. And they're just very into it, man. And it's just like almost like a perfect place for small time studio wrestling.
Here now, here's what's funny to me is people always say how hard it is to draw week after week in the same locale. WWE's been doing this with NXT for a decade now.
Yeah.
Right? They're the closest thing we have to like a territorial wrestling system is NXT. As far as like drawing the same people week in and week out. This is why we didn't shit on the idea of AEW running that esports arena in Texas later this year. Because if they can do that, if they can make that their own version of like the performance center or Full Sail, then they can have a control. Cause we actually, Mike, I don't know, where did you find those documents? Were they not supposed to talk about that?
No, you can talk there. I'm sure the flagship is talking about it, but they're on the VOW Discord.
Oh, is that where you got that from? I never hang out in the Discord. Yeah. So like Mike, we were going over like what AEW is paying to run Arlington, and it's a freaking steal. Like, it's like 14, steal.
14 grand a night.
14 grand. That's nothing. Yeah. So like, if you can figure out a way to make that a cool thing, and this is what WWE has done a really good job of, is they've made those NXT shows feel like going to Memphis, right?
Yeah.
Or feel like those old time territory. And we don't give WWE enough credit for that. They have captured the feel of studio wrestling or center stage or Tech Wood back with WCW and NWA. Like, they've done a really good job of capturing that vibe, right? And I think that it would benefit AEW if they could do that with either their shows or if they ever figure out this Ring of Honor thing in a similar way. So yeah, if TNA can do the same kind of thing with Full Sail, like I think wrestling needs more small arena stuff and less giant basketball arena stuff, because it all starts looking the same after a while. Like, say what you want about NXT, the show has a vibe that's totally different.
Yeah, and they've built a very loyal following there in Orlando. Well, all right, guys, that's going to do it for us this week. JD and I are going to take a little bit of a break, and then we're going to head up a Patreon to start the beginning of our new series, Who Killed WCW, where we recap the Vice series on Who Killed WCW.
Eric Bischoff.
It was Eric. But we're still going to recap. We're still going to recap it. That's going to be exclusively for the Patreon. Go to patreon.com/TheMikeAndJDShow. And until next time. Mahalo.
Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. Amen. No rain from the track when we unite and spit. This isn't A game. Better bring your A game. Competition starting to get thick. It's the click, so I hope you watch your A game. Amen. No rain from the track when we.
My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines. And we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voice of Wrestling Network.